The chair and colleagues, good afternoon. I hope you've eaten well. So we're going to talk about how do we increase our productivity so that we can multiply the food we eat in Africa. My presentation is on a program that we are developing with all the CGI centers with regards to taking technologies to the farmers. But before I delve into it, for those of you who have not listened to our presentation of our Africa Development Bank's Feed Africa strategy, I will take a little time to go through the Feed Africa strategy before delving into the main program, which I want to share with you. Why do we need an African-wide agricultural transformation? Just to give you some of the information you may already have, okay? The concerns that we have, 49% of Africans, or 420 million, living below the poverty line of $1.25 a day, and 33% of African children live in chronic hunger. In short, 58 million of them are stunted. And you are aware of the cost of stunting. Also, today Africa imports 35.4 billion dollars per annum. And if we don't do anything about it, our statistics show that this will rise to 110 billion by 2025. And most of what we produce, we don't add much value. We're giving you an example there of cocoa. Four African countries, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Nigeria, and Cameroon, produce 73% of world cocoa. But their share of value addition is only about 16%. So all the benefits that cocoa brings go to outside Africa. In the chocolate industry, which is worth 100 billion per annum. So what can we do to change some of these things? This is part of why we've come up with a program that we want to share with the rest of our stakeholders. The other issues which may concern you is, if you check the graph below, if that line is not covering it, you see a comparison of what we produce in Africa, our productivity, relative to what is our best practice. Let me take rice, for example. We are producing about 2.5 tons at best, I think maybe in Africa rice demonstration farms at best. But the best practice is about 8.3, okay? But not only that, if you look at the next graph on the right, you see the level of imports and the level of exports, what we export and what we import, and see the gap is continuing to widen. And urbanization is also making it worse, because as people move to the cities, not only their tastes change, as you can see on the right-hand side, the rural areas prefer, they don't have more choice. Most of their preference is what we call the standard rice. I believe those ones put outside will clarify the difference between standard and premium rice. Then, due to urbanization and change in preference, the urban people prefer the premium rice, most of which is imported. And this is also one of the things that is widening our export-import balance. There are a number of barriers. It will take me time to go through them. Underperforming value chains, insufficient infrastructure, limited access to agricultural finance, adverse agribusiness environment, limited inclusivity and sustainability. I also talked about the issue of nutrition. These are some of the issues that exacerbate low performance of Africa's agriculture. So what is the African Development Bank doing about it? Most of you will have heard about high fives, those who follow African Development Bank. which is to power and light up Africa, because energy is important. Feed Africa, which concerns me and you, how do we feed ourselves? To industrialize, to integrate, and then to improve the quality of life. This is what we call the African Development Bank's high five. But as I said, our concern is on the second one, which is to feed Africa. Here, we're trying to show that Africa is not really at standstill. It does not mean that nothing is happening. But there are pockets of change here and there. As you can see in Kenya, they are doing well when it comes to exporting horticulture. Ethiopia has done well with regards to floriculture. When it comes to input distribution using the e-wallet system, Nigeria has done well. Other countries that have done well also include Rwanda. Most of you follow Rwanda. And Burkina Faso, and sometimes Senegal with regards to rice and cotton. So there are pockets of transformation, but it's pockets. It's not widespread, and it's not enough to take care of Africa's problems. How do we solve this? We thought that it's better we focus on our approach of integrated commodity value chains. Okay, so we try to look at those mainly 18 commodities, which Africa spends 35.4 billion annually to import, and see how we can classify them according to the various ecological zones and countries. That's what you see on the map there. I believe rice is predominantly West Africa, though, as we have seen, it's also expanding to other countries. So we try to see which countries and where can we make a big focus, try to address the issues of transforming value chains. We are doing this through what we call enablers. Number one is the issue of productivity. It's actually number one, okay? And that's where I will focus later when we talk about the technologies, because if you need to improve technologies, research, if you need to improve productivity, research, technologies become important. Then the issue of value addition, which we mentioned, we need to look at post-harvest losses and how do we reduce losses. We need to build industrial parks in order to integrate our agricultural ecosystem. We need to look at infrastructure, not only hard infrastructure, but also soft infrastructure. We need to look at finance. There's a lot of money sitting out there in the sovereign wealth funds, in the pension funds, but we don't have access to them. How do we crowd in those resources? And then the issue of the agribusiness environment. Most policies don't align with even research. The funding for research around Africa is less than 1% in many countries. Policy can change all those things if we have better informed policies on land, on tariff, on incentives to attract businesses. Okay. Inclusivity, the role of women, climate smart, climate issues, youths are also very important. And then coordination, do we coordinate? Sometimes if FAD is facing that, the African Development Bank is backing them, World Bank is perpendicular to them, and then we are losing resources. So we want to ensure a better coordination. So to do this, we have developed a number of flagships. I just mentioned them quickly. There is one on nutrition. There's one on blue economy. I was here about 3 months ago to talk with fisheries experts from various countries to look at blue economy. How do we develop our fisheries across the continent? Issue of post-harvest losses I mentioned. We are doing a flagship to deal with that, agricultural mechanization. We are looking at how to de-risk our financing so that we can get money from commercial banks. I think I'll come to that later. You find out that we're not commercial, even though agriculture contributes 25% of GDP. The share of commercial bank lending to agriculture is just 5%. This is not acceptable. So but they talk of risk. So how do we de-risk them so that we can leverage from their own balance sheet to improve funding? Research or technology or the type of work you're doing cannot be supported by public funds alone. So we need to look at the private sector. Then women, we have a program for women. We call it Affirmative Financing Action for Women, a dedicated fund that will take advantage of, you know, women's diversity and their creativity to support them. And of course, I talked about agro-industrial parks. And I mentioned coordination. I mentioned the youth program that we have. We call Enable Youth. Some of you may have heard about it, where we're trying to support young people to go into agribusiness. And of course, the last one, which is the Technologies for African Agricultural Transformation, TAT. So what is TAT? Now I come to TAT. This is the issue I've mentioned before. If cereal yield in Africa versus other developing countries, you see the gap. On the average, our cereal yield is about 1040 kg. But per hectare, when compared with average of nine countries listed below, is 3,348 kilograms per hectare. So we are just about a third of the other countries. Okay. And that is why we are importing what we should be producing, because our productivity is very low. Okay. So now let us take some of the individual commodities that we have comparative advantage to produce, but we are nowhere near our potential. Rice, I think I mentioned that earlier, 1.87 tons is the average we are producing. We should be at 3.23. It could be more, but given even the technologies available, so we need 73% change to even reach our potential. You can see the rest. Oil palm, for example, we need huge 465% change to reach our potential. But I will not go through those details. Our concern today is rice. It's not as bad. It's one of the lowest, but 73% is still a lot of effort. So this program we have is aimed to disseminate proven agricultural technologies that you already have there, both at the CGI centers and the state's research organizations and the regional. The technologies are there, but they are not reaching the farmers. NERICA was mentioned here. NERICA won the U.S. Treasury Award as a project that has contributed to the benefits of poor people in West Africa. The bank, as you heard, supported it, and we got the award for that program. But the statistics we have shows that it's only 35% adopted. Even when it's winning an award, imagine what will happen if we are to increase that adoption to 50% or 60% by taking it to other countries. I heard a lot of technologies being mentioned, but where are they? They are not reaching the farmers. That is why the African Development Bank decided that we need to look at these proven technologies among those 18 commodity value chains and try to support them to get to the farmers. That's what the whole program is all about, working with the CGI centers. As of today, we are trying to target 35 countries in Africa, of which 26 countries, most of your countries here, have written to the bank to say that they want to participate in this program. So we are developing it as a framework, because it's not just African Development Bank alone that will fund it. We are, IFAD is here, IFAD is contributing to it, World Bank is contributing to it, Bill and Melinda Gates contributing to it. We are also talking to Japan. Agra is also contributing. So it's open to donors and partners to join us, and they have established interest to join us. We have designed a program which we are taking to our board on the 3rd of October. So what is this that we have designed? I think I've mentioned some of this. So in terms of our funding of this program, we're looking at two approaches, and that's where you come in. First is we're going to fund what we call centrally managed programs. We're going to provide grants of about $120 million over 3 years to the CGI centers, working with NARES, and so on, to deal with those activities that are more public goods, like demonstrating these technologies, working with youths, building your capacities and the capacity of farmers to absorb them. So African Development Bank, in the next 3 years, is going to spend $120 million on those activities. We call them centrally managed activities. But at the same time, we will want you here to work with your government to scale this up, because we cannot just be doing pilots and capacity building and we stop there. We want to massively invest in those technologies among those commodities, of which rice is one of them. So we're also going to have national level interventions where we expect countries to come to us. Okay? If you want to do a rice value chain program or a value chain program with rice as a component, then we will work with you, bring Africa rice if it's about rice or if it's about other commodities. When I finish here with you, next week I'm going to three countries with ICADA, more or less doing the same sensitization on wheat in North Africa for these national programs, Egypt, Morocco, Tunisia. They want to go into wheat, so we bring in ICADA, we're bringing the national organizations in those countries. We want to work together to scale up wheat production in those areas. The same thing we want to do with rice. That's one reason I'm here to talk to you. You have to sensitize your government. Africa Rice will be there to start preliminary operations, given the resources, limited resources that will be given to them. But you need to come up to do a program on rice, or to do a value chain program, of which rice is one of them. So, as I said earlier, we are going to do it. The total cost of this program is over $1 billion. The African Development Bank is going to put $350 million. $120 million in terms of grant and $220 million in terms of countries coming to us to borrow. The World Bank is going to put $500 million through ESWAP and whatever programs, of which most of it will go to supporting this program. In fact, it's here. My colleague Addis will tell you how much. We don't have figure yet, but... Sorry? It's gone off. Okay. They're also contributing. Other partners. So that's why we call it a framework. It's an open basket where every partner can come in and support. They don't need to come through the African Development Bank. They should go to the countries, invest massively on technology. But you have to invite them. You have to tell them to come to your country. You have to go home, tell your ministers of agriculture, your ministers of finance that you want to work on rice or any other commodity, because I believe most of you here cover more than rice. So for our first program, for the first, the one that we are approving this year, as I said, so we're going to do 40 million grant over 3 years. This is the money that we've secured so far, 40 million from the African Development Bank, 1.14 million from Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which they say will increase to 5 million if there is progress, 5 million over 3 years if there is progress. And then AGRA is putting 10 million on the grant. And then most of these countries are putting by their own efforts, we say in kind, they don't need to, there's not necessarily a cash flow, but if they can make their land available for demonstration and all that, we count them. So 55 million, we are approving in the next 2 weeks, and then subsequent 2 years, we will also do the same under tiers 2 and 3. So how will this be implemented? As I said earlier, they're focusing on 18 commodity value chains, of which rice is one of them. We're focusing on what we call 8 priority investment areas, but dividing them into, because we know that not all countries are at the same level of readiness. So the countries that are ready, we start with those in tier 1 later this year, and then we bring in additional 10 or 15 until over 3 years. We should be able to bring the 35 countries that we have identified. So our 8 priority areas, of course, rice stands out as number 1, self-sufficiency in rice, which is this meeting is all about. But there are also other ones, like achieving food security in the Sahel, which covers a number of areas. Then transforming the savanna, the Guinea savanna, as a food basket, just as Brazil transformed their Cerrado, which was not productive, but they were able to turn it into a food basket, not only for Brazil, but for the rest of the world. We feel we can also do the same thing. Okay. We are setting up another program we call Transforming the African Savannah Initiative, TASI, that will deal with this. We're also looking at three plantations, like cocoa, coffee, cashew nuts. We're also supporting them. Horticulture, of course, I've already mentioned what is happening in Kenya and Ethiopia, and so we are going to be supporting North Africa. They're also coming big on horticulture. So we'll be not only looking at wheat, but also looking at those horticulture. And of course, wheat, which, as I said, will be next week with the DG of ICADA in three North African countries, looking at how to expand wheat production in North Africa. And of course, fish, which, as I said 3 months ago in this same room, we were talking about the blue economy. So in terms of how we've divided them, the colors there show the countries we want to start with immediately. We call them tier one countries, about 10 of them. And then the colors for tier two, Gambia. The Gambia is on that tier two. They're not starting immediately, but by 2018, Gambia will be there. And then the, is it orange or what, will be the tier three countries who will start in 2019. These are some of the examples of the how these were chosen because of their readiness, of course, and of course the commodities and who will be working on them. Rice, for example, there is the 10 countries that we've chosen for tier one. The commodities we have chosen include rice there with Africa Rice and its partners, not just Africa Rice. Africa Rice will lead its partners to support rice. Of course, cassava, maize, and soybean, IATA, will work with their partners. Livestock, IRI, with their partners. Wheat, I've already mentioned, ICADA. Aquaculture, we're bringing the world fish. Then vegetables, the World Veg and their partners. Beans, SIAT, and their partners. Water issues will be IMI and their partners. So these are the leading centers who will work with you, who will work with the countries, but lead in the specific commodities where they have comparative advantage. So in terms of design, these are major areas: production, productivity, and competitiveness. And then the enablers I mentioned, which we are funding with grants, including capacity development, which essentially the CG centers working with FARA will undertake. Policy support, IFPRI, working with all the CG centers and the countries to make sure that policies that support rice, for example, are in place. You don't go and produce and the government is still importing, okay? Or you don't go and produce and there's no policy for milling. All those must have to be addressed. And of course, we are bringing young people to be used to demonstrate the technologies. So Africa Rice is going to use some of the youths that are working on agriculture business to go to those countries. And then water services, I mentioned IMI. And then a program we call Clearinghouse. Okay. But in terms of technologies, what are these technologies? I believe you know them more than I do. I will skip this. This is technologies that have been identified for wheat, for maize, for soybean, for poultry. Then discuss a bit. Maybe I don't need to talk to the converted because this is your work. What is it that we're going to do on rice? The technologies that have been discussed and submitted by African Rice include improved rice varieties. Today I heard about advanced rice varieties for Africa and the Nerica. The hybrid rice varieties, the improved crop nutrition, soil and foliar micronutrients in rice, localized nutrients and so on. Give advice as well. Good agricultural practices, GAP, irrigation services, and scheduling to improve field level water management. Rice mechanization. There are a number of things they've listed there. Laser land leveling, motorized weeders, axial flow threshers and so on. And so on. Improve access and lifting of water for rice irrigation. Rice processing. This is very important because we cannot just produce paddy and we count that we produce. We need to process them from standard rice to premium rice so that we don't only meet the needs of the rural areas but also the need for the urban areas. And then composite biscuits, minerals, and so on, fortified rice. And so on and so forth. This is what Africa Rice we want to do with each partners with regards to this. So the technology must be proven, scientifically determined, recommended dormant. They must show that they increase productivity. They must show that they're also compliant with the environment and that they will lead to transformation. If it's not going to give us 3.8 tons, then there will be no need to waste our effort. So it's going to be transactional as well. Okay. Before this, we must be convinced that the technologies that we are spending resources on must give impact. In terms of implementation of the TAT, the CGI centers with us have agreed that IETA should be the executing agency because they have implemented, they have coordinated. You had Bruce talk about SAD-AC earlier. That was an earlier program the African Development Bank supported, which IETA coordinated. So with that experience, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. So we felt they should continue to lead. They will establish a clearinghouse that's a bit semi-autonomous that reports to the CGI centers through a steering committee. The only difference is here is the director general of the IETA will be the chair of that steering committee, but it's like a board. The clearinghouse would see to the technical delivery of the program, reporting to the board, to reporting to the steering committee, which will comprise all the CGI centers and the representative of the NARS, just for technical execution of the centrally managed activities. But for the country programs, the countries will be their own executing agency. They will manage them with the lead agencies at that level. So the clearinghouse will be the driving force for that, giving its direction. It will facilitate loan grant proposals. It will be have strong and active engagement and communication and link to government policies and bring in various partners. At the country level, as I said earlier, the clearinghouse will also ensure integration among partners so that we can focus in delivering the value chains. And it will be linking the TAT to the various countries, and we also undertake reporting. And as I said earlier, it will report to the steering committee and to the bank through its PMU. It will provide advice to both governments and private sector, propose multi-stakeholder agricultural technology dissemination, and facilitate South-South partnership with other countries. Okay, for example, this year, the African Development Bank is sending 30 young people to Brazil to go and get more knowledge on cassava. Next year could be rice and maize or whatever. So clearinghouse could be also participating in identifying with the various CGI centers those who will be benefiting from these resources. The resources are housed in the African Development Bank. It's just to identify young people we can also send to countries of excellence to acquire more knowledge. The clearinghouse will also be liaising with, as I said, partners, World Bank, AGRA, IFAD, and so on and so forth to make sure that the TAT is well funded. And then, of course, set up monitoring evaluation system so that they can report on results. As I said earlier, it will also have a steering committee, which is more like a board, which will have representatives of the various CGI centers and representatives of the private sector, the representatives of the African Ministers of Agriculture. I don't know how many you they will decide. The CGI centers will decide themselves, maybe one from each region. And then the representatives of the NAS, national governments or regional farmer organizations, they will also decide. The representatives, maybe one or two from each region, to be the steering committee. This is the decision organ for this program. They will be the one clearing the programs, the work programs for the CGI centers. They will be the ones ensuring that appointments are made in a way that they serve the interests of the program. Then we have the lead centers, which is like Africa Rice. They are the lead centers. Of course, they will lead the various commodities that fall under them in the various countries. They will work with the regional research, the SROs and the NAS, to make sure that these technologies are disseminated. They should prepare the annual work programs for their, themselves, which they will submit to the steering committee for approval. Once it's approved, they will go and deliver. Nobody will bother them again for that year. IFPRI will do similar thing when it comes to policy. FARA will do similar thing when it comes to capacity building, deciding what capacity to build, what are the skill gaps in the various countries that need to be filled. And then the youths, IITA will coordinate the youths to support most of this program dissemination. At the country level, this will be left with the countries, provided that they're able to secure resources from any of the partners, including African Development Bank, IFAD, and the World Bank, and so on and so forth. They will work essentially with the lead centers and the NAS at that level to ensure that technologies are well coordinated among partners and the support that they receive lead to impact. So this will be at the country level. These are some of the benefits that TAT will give. Because of time, I will skip that. Of course, job creation is very important in all this. And of course, making sure that vulnerability to market price fluctuations are reduced as a result of having to produce more and to stabilize the economy. In terms of figures, we estimate that TAT will assist about 2.8 million beneficiary households, of which 9.6 will be direct and 23.2 will be indirect, and reaching impacting over 362 million people over 10 years. As I said earlier, it will lead to increased value of production of between 2.8 to 4.6 billion if we are able to invest around 850 million. So it returns, there's a lot of return if we can reach those targets of productivity. And then on annual basis, we estimate that 735 million additional food, raw food will be produced. And over 130 million people will be lifted out of poverty. So last, during the AGRF, we took advantage of the CGI centers that were at Abidjan to hold a consultative meeting. All the CGIs were represented. Some countries were also represented, where they gave their full endorsement of the TAT. And IFAD was there to lend their support. And as I said, by end of this month, our board will be approving the first 40 million of the 120 million that we want to put into this program. Mr. Chairman, that's the end of the presentation. Thank you.